Father, we just thank you that you are wonderful, you are powerful, you are mighty, and yet you're our good daddy. You're our good father. You just say that we can come boldly into your throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find rest. Just thank you for that today. We thank you, Lord, as we worship you, that you fill up our hearts even more with love for you because of how amazing you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. As we continue to worship you, as we continue to lift up your name, we just are so excited for what you're doing in our lives. We're so excited that with you, there's always hope. With you, there's always a future. With you, there's always your presence with us because you've promised never to leave us or forsake us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're amazing, Lord. You're amazing. We worship you this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. First Friday was amazing. We had a fairly awesome turnout, and we sent some people down to the mall to invite people to the winter retreat, and Carly was just telling me that they ran into a whole bunch of students from Mount Union wearing their Mount Union gear, which was a lot of fun. And some of them actually were on the basketball team, the ladies' basketball team, and they're like, hey, maybe we should all get the whole ladies, Mount Union ladies' basketball team to come to the winter weekend, which would be awesome. So let's pray into that. And so then some of us also, we stayed in downtown Canton and kind of went around, and it was kind of a different night. And as we were walking in our group, Jamie spoke out and she shared, I just had this weird feeling that, you know, I'm going to sing somewhere tonight, right, Jamie? And we didn't quite know what way, shape, or form that would take, but then we have a video. Oh, yes, Jamie. We have a video. Now, this is on Friday night, downtown Canton, in a bar. Jamie took over the microphone and sang. So here it is.
When I can lock someone good, consider all thy works thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the roar of thunder, thy path throughout thy universe display.
You can sing it if you know this.
Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
So bless you guys with that song. We're just going to sing Happy Birthday.
All right, you can stop it. And then she continues to sing Happy Birthday to some a couple of ladies that were also in there. But it was so cool. Just it took a while for this to actually happen because there were delays and happenings and all that. But it was just so awesome to see the atmosphere, and a couple of us obviously were there, we were recording it, but just seeing the atmosphere shift and change when she just began to lift up the heart of the Lord in that place, which is just really, really amazing. So I believe that it's a beginning sign of things to come, of what the Lord wants to do, because he's going to invade all these different places. And to me, it was so cool seeing just here all these people out spending, you know, Friday night to do whatever they're going to do, yet Holy Spirit just interrupts their night with just invading his presence. So I'm sure that Jamie will share more.
Well, in 2013, when we were in Indonesia, we were also in a bar eating, and there was a band playing, and I don't know, it wasn't really karaoke, but there could have been an opportunity for me to go up and sing something, and the team around me was encouraging me, oh, you should totally do this, and I was going to do it. Then I didn't, and I thought about this Friday night, two things, actually. The Lord told me you're going to sing tonight. I thought it was just on the streets where nobody was going to be listening and just declaring and decreeing and prophesying. And I thought I was doing what God told me. And then we went to the bar. And the first thing was I had a, not a flashback because I wouldn't remember this, but when I was 3 years old, I stood on a bar table and started singing, I love you, you love me, you know, the Barney song. And so the Lord was grooming me, and then I also had thought about Indonesia, and gosh, this is a chance to redeem myself, because I was too afraid to do it then, especially in a different country, and then to do it there, and I'm telling you, I was actually afraid, I was nervous, I almost was thinking, what would I say if I just didn't do it, like, oh, I gotta go, bye, you know, and so, got a chance to lift up the name of the Lord, and that was the sole purpose, to give glory to God in that fun atmosphere that we were in. So glory to God. There's more to come.
I asked Jamie to share that a little bit about Indonesia. We were there, and she was amazing, an amazing fireball in many of the countries we were in. It was wonderful. It was a great trip. But see what going overseas can do over here and having those kinds of experiences. So we'll be getting dates and trip costs and all that kind of stuff to you as soon as we possibly can. So be in prayers to what God would be speaking to you for 2015, because those things are coming. We're just really blessed to be going to so many countries over these many years, and we're seeing what God's doing now. So hang tight, more is coming. God bless you. And just a really quick update, my mom was released from the hospital on Monday. She's alive! So she does require a lot of care. That's why you haven't seen me around. And if this is just a little sales pitch, 5 seconds. Now, this wouldn't be for you because you would have been sleeping right now. But if you know of any good, strong Christian female right now who would like a night job from 11 to 7, because I've been on that duty and the other sessions or the other times as well. So I believe God's providing some things for us and setting things up. So if you have a friend who has experience in home health care, particularly with the elderly, with certain types of issues, you can talk to me. Let me know. So there's 5 nights that we have available for that. Okay? God bless you. Thanks for praying for her. And I think the children want to go bicycling, don't you? But all the children are released to Kingdom Land right now.
Thank you, Father. There's joy in the house. The children are filled with joy. The adults, in Jesus' name, are filled with joy. Place, Father, is responding to the atmosphere of joy that you created when you died so willingly for us and gave us the opportunity for freedom. Thank you, Lord. We'd be slaves without you, but instead we're sons. Thank you, God, that you take us in as sons and daughters. We count it a privilege to meet in your name today. As family, as sons and daughters of yours, we enter in, we offer ourselves. What can we do for you, Dad? How can we serve you, Dad? How can we shine for you, Dad? How can we lift up others, Dad? How can we put our hand out to heal, Dad? How can we love someone else as you love us, Dad? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, you're drawing us in closer and closer. Are we willing? Are we willing to draw in? You're calling us to draw in. Will we draw in? Will we come, Lord? We want to come closer to you, Lord. But coming closer to you shows so many things in our heart. Are we willing to press in anyway? Let you heal those things up? Let you point to those things and we give them over? Father, we ask you to come today. Speak deep. Go deep. Search us deep. We're willing. We're willing to have the spotlight shine on us. We're willing to have the searchlight shine on us and show us anything that doesn't please you, Father, because you're our dad. We're in your family. We're sons and daughters. We want to please you. You're the perfect Father. Shouldn't be any rebellion in our hearts, Lord. We cast it out in Jesus' name. There shouldn't be any resistance in our heart, Lord. We cast it out in Jesus' name. There shouldn't be anything where we hold back, Lord. We cast it out in Jesus' name. We should just be open with you. Be honest with you. Be humble with you. And say, you are God. And we're your family only because you allowed us to be. You made a way. We couldn't be your family as sinners because you're holy. But God, you've made a way. You've made a way. We meet together in your name today. We change together in your name today, Lord. Give us the power through Holy Spirit to do just that. Because we can't do it on our own. Our commitments fall short. Our grandiose words fall short. But your power never falls short. We apply it today. We receive it today. We catch it today. And take it in deep. In Jesus' name. Amen. I can remember a time, one time I was praying up here and I didn't stop. Just kept praying. You remember that? Some of you were here. It's not something you plan. It's something that happens. And you get carried by the Spirit. We're supposed to be carried by the Spirit of God. He's not just some theory. We should know Him intimately. Be carried by Him through our day. Sure, we'll still make choices that aren't in line with Him at times. Then we just say, hey, I missed it. Sorry, Lord. Take me from here. We don't crawl into a ball in the corner and give up. We keep pressing in for more of what He wants to show us, more of how He wants to carry us. That's supposed to be the radical Christian life. In fact, this morning I was going to speak on 10 changes you need to make. Well, and me too. Sounds better when I say you. 10 changes we all need to make to go from being nominal Christians to radical Christians. 10 things. I have them written down. But then the Lord said, no, I want you to adjust this. When you're in an ongoing conversation with the Lord, He changes things many times. That's why when I think of someone that prepares a sermon starting Monday right after they give it on Sunday, and then they prepare it all through the week and they give it the next Sunday. And week after week after week, they do the same process. And whatever they started on Monday, they preach that next Sunday. I think, man, that's not been my experience. Things happen that week that change everything. Change what I'm going to share. Change what Holy Spirit has in mind for His people. Do I just stick with the same thing I came up with on Monday to preach the next Sunday? There's so many things that week that could change it. Why not let it be changed? That's the celebration that the video was about. You can be joyful. You can just say, God, I'm just a little child. Lead me. Guide me. Take me by the hand. And it's an awesome experience. Too many of us are adults. You missed it. You're supposed to be a child. A mature child. Very mature. But a child. Childlike heart, but making very mature, Holy Spirit-led decisions. Some people like the child thing. They dance, they sing, and they go out and they sin. They look good. They're worshiping before the Lord. But they come, they like the freedom here, they dance up front, I'll be up there with them, dancing, worshiping the Lord. Next thing you know, where are they? They're out in the world somewhere. How can you do that? I don't know, but they like the childlikeness, but they don't like the mature walk. I'm doing a third message. What's going on? They like the childlikeness. They like the freedom. They like the celebration. But they don't want the mature walk. Others, they want the mature walk, so they get stiff. They don't do the dancing. No, I might do something wrong. They don't worship with their hands up. That might be wrong. I'm going to stick to the program, whatever the program is, and maybe being stiff is the program. And that doesn't work either, does it? Afraid you're going to make a mistake. That's very adult-like, but it's not very childlike. It's very mature in one sense, but it's filled with fear. We have a Father that accepts us but challenges us. We have a Father that gives gracious gifts to us, amazing mercy and grace, and Holy Spirit as His almighty gift inside of our heart to live with us continually if we know Jesus. And yet, He lets us dance. Gives us powerful gifts that you would think we'd have to just be on this tightrope all the time. But instead, we can dance on the tightrope, slip a little bit here and there, if we love Him. If you love Him, you're more free than any other person on earth. Well, what about the person that obeys? If they don't love Him and they obey, it'll turn into religion. And eventually, they won't obey Him like they think they are, because they don't love Him. If they love Him, but they don't obey, then they get off track because they get deceived and they say, oh, I love Him, but they don't really obey anything He has to say. Oh, I love Him. Oh, I love the atmosphere here at Brown. Oh, I love the worship. I love the people. I love God. But then they go out and do what they want to do. That's not true love, is it? I'm talking about other people, not you people. I'm not talking about me. So it's interesting that one of the songs today was about I am free to run. Because I thought today we'd talk about true freedom, and it'll look a little bit different than what you might think. Because there are all kinds of freedom. There's self-freedom where you're selfish. I come to church selfish and I leave selfish. I'm free. Honest. Or I don't even bother to come to church and I'm selfish. I just do go where I want to go, what I want to do. Oh, I help people all the time. Selfishly, because I want to tell people I help people all the time. There's a selfishness that they don't care about what God thinks. Then there's the selfless, the person that gives themselves totally to God. They're serving, loving, caring. They're a kingdom person. Selfless. Some of you are selfless. You left yourself out and started loving others, started loving Jesus. And then He makes you feel the best you can feel within yourself. Free, really free, true freedom. And we're going to talk about that person today. Then there's the selfish person that tries to mix in the Bible. Come on. Lukewarm. Does that ring any bells? Jesus in the back pocket. you carry him, and when you need him, you pull him out. Oh, Jesus is with me. Help! Then when the crisis is over, you put him back in the back pocket, live the way you want. So that would be the person that is mixed, carnal, the Bible calls him. Religious. Just enough of the Bible to make them miserable. Sometimes. Sometimes so much of freedom, they have a little of the Bible and they spout the Bible whenever they run into a Christian. Or when they're here at Frontline, maybe dancing up front. Now, don't get the wrong idea. The people dancing up front aren't all these things I'm describing. Most of them are totally free. But over the years, we've had a lot of people come through. Bible study originally. And we started taking trips overseas. No, you're supposed to stand up. I'm going to use you in a minute. And then when we established this body of believers in 2005, there's been a lot of people that come through. They come through. They dance a little while. They go. Some stay. So you get to see a lot of different types of people. So there are the biblical free people, the selfish using the biblical. If you were to say they have a form of godliness but not the power thereof. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know them. Maybe you were once one of them. I know I was. And then when people get into groups, political and social freedom, right? The news is filled with those wanting freedom. They want politicians to get more for them. Or they want social agencies to get more for them. More freedom. Less bondage. And so nations, war against nations. Nations war within themselves. There's civil wars because there's competition among the groups wanting to get something for themselves. It's competing groups that are trying to compromise so that everyone is free. Competing groups that try to compromise, but sometimes it ends up in anarchy. Or one leader that decides for all what's best. It's never satisfying, though. It's never a satisfying kind of freedom. Even the freedom in the United States that is based on majority rules. Have you seen some of the votes that have gone down lately? It's not always wise to have majority rule. Now, we vote, we go along with it. It's the best we have in place for government, but there will come a king with a government that'll be much better. You won't have to vote him in. You'll know him when you see him. He'll be glowing, very powerful, riding a white horse. That's the government that's going to work. And it's a coming government. So we work with what we have right now, but if you think putting all your time in getting more from the government, more freedom from the government, it's going to be a long battle and you're not going to get where you think you're going to get. Or some group that you attach yourself to that wants social change. Now, are those things bad to try to, you know, put our input into? Of course not. We always want to have an influence for Jesus. But I'm just saying, if you're going to give your whole life and that's your ministry, one of those things, you better be called. Because the end of it is kind of like Jeremiah's ministry. You're going to have a ministry to people. You're going to be a prophet to people, but they're not going to listen to you. How would you like that? We have people that at least listen to us in the nations and here. So they get into groups. The one group is political, social. The majority rules based on human wisdom, opinions. Have you ever watched Fox News or any other news? Lots of opinions. Back and forth. Sometimes they put them on split screens. Sometimes they put them on three split screens just so they can argue with one. And you can't even hear what's going on. I have Sirius radio in my car, and I'm driving along, and you can't see the lips move like you can when you watch it on TV. And so it just sounds like, blah, 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 until the moderator jumps in and says, okay, thank you for your opinion. Didn't even hear it. They are just bring on people to be fair and balanced and argue back and forth. That's the best the world has to offer. The world, the flesh, the devil influences all these political and social, and they are going for what? Freedom. It's not working too well. Then there's the kingdom. The word of God, logos, plus the spirit of God, rhema. You follow the king, and you end up in more freedom, as much as you want every day. Wow. It's upside down. He sounds like a dictator, but he's not. One rule, one man rule, so to speak. But it's the best because he's completely for you. Wants the best for you, wants the best for me. So, many of these groups and individuals I talked about, they have an upside-down bike. They form committees, and they say, wow, look how that bike works. Man, those tires. Look, it's got handlebars. It's got training wheels. It's got everything. Well, the tire's a little flat. We'll have to work on that. But otherwise, it's perfect, perfect bike. Okay, it's upside down, little kid's bike. You can stand up. We're free here. Sure, anything for you, baby. Whew. That's what a daughter gets. Deliveries. So they look at the tires, they say, wow, look at that, look at how we put that together with our opinions and our laws. Wow, it's great. But it never works. Leaving it like that, it never works. And they can't understand it, and they'll form committees, they'll talk for hours, they'll try to figure it out. Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work? Because they didn't ask the designer. They didn't ask for the instructions from the designer. It'd be very simple if they did that. He would just say, it's an upside-down kingdom. Turn it over. Get on it. I will fix it. It will work. You'll have more freedom than you ever could have before. And it's a child's bike, so enjoy the ride. Have fun. You don't have to act like an adult. So, true freedom, I think we could talk about 8 areas that could bring true freedom to us. And the world doesn't talk much about these. They just talk about freedom. They never define how you can really have true freedom because they have no idea. I'm telling you right now, no idea. Now think about it. We've had women's rights movement in this country, right? And yet, in many churches, the women are second-class citizens. How could that be? Even in our society, we've given more rights to women, so to speak, or we've said, hey, we need to bring them up. They've been kept down and in second place and so on. No, they still don't get paid as much, that types of things that are discussed all the time. But where do you find true freedom for women? Is it in a religious environment, a church? It should be, but it doesn't end up that way. They're still second-class citizens in many places. You can smile. Well, I'm happy while I'm sharing this. Okay, because there's freedom and there's truth here that's going to help. But in the kingdom, and we're trying to attach our body to the kingdom, women are raised up. In Galatians, it says there's neither male nor female, neither slave nor free. Now, how does that work with some of the other passages in the New Testament about roles? Well, it takes Holy Spirit wisdom, doesn't it? Because our roles are different. We're not alike in any. I am not alike Pastor Mary Pat. She is not like me at all. But you know what? I celebrate her differences because she built. I'll let you in on a little secret. She fills in my holes. Many, many holes. Jesus fills them all in, but he uses her too to fill in some of my holes, to challenge me in places where I think I'm pretty radical, but then she shows me what it really looks like. And I'm sure I fill in at least one of her holes somewhere. I'm going to discover it one of these days. But it should be an empowering thing for a woman to be in church. Just like it's an empowering thing for men to be in church. Gender shouldn't have a whole lot to do with it. Now, there again, there are roles. There are things to learn. Balance, honoring of one another, how to do that, how to go about that in marriage and in the church. But here, because we have a powerful woman leader, she helps empower the women, and so do I. In India, they were going to have a women's conference. They invited me, I went. I was the main speaker. You bet. And I want women to be the main speaker at the men's conferences. Why have a bunch of men get together all the time? I mean, Men Who Honor is an exception, okay. I know. Well, there have been a few sneak in. I've noticed that. Oh, yeah, we'll make the food. We'll make... What's going on in there? It's not a secret society. If you happen to breeze by on a Men Who Honor, you're welcome. There we go. You did. I remember that. I'm going to stop by the girls' group one of these days just to see what's going on. But I was the main speaker at a women's conference. I loved it. They loved it. I'm glad they loved it. Because I told them they were powerful in Jesus and that I was not above them. I was with them. I cared about raising them up because in that society, even in the churches, the Christian churches, I don't even have to say anything. So we're discovering what that's all about. We don't have it down yet. We're still figuring it out. But it's fun to see the women lead out in worship up here. And they're not just doing that. They speak. They preach. They share. And it's helpful to the body. How are we going to win the world with only one gender active, allowed to be active? In powerful positions. It's not going to happen. We need both genders empowered. That's what Jesus had in mind. How do we get into that? No idea. Okay. So basically, if you look at the bike, think the best that can be done with that is that. If you are a religious person trying to be spiritual and you turn it on, turn it off, you're lukewarm, whatever, or you're a person in the world that doesn't give a hoot about God, that's the best you can do in going through life and having freedom. But when you know the designer and you ask him, you're in an ongoing conversation with him, whoa, the bike gets turned upside down, the tires get filled with, I was going to say fire. Maybe some of that, yeah, okay, and they get filled with air. Fire and wind, okay. They get filled up with all of it, the whole loaf. And the thing works beautifully, and you can have so much enjoyment when you have true freedom. Some of us, even in this room, not naming names, I won't look at you. I'm going to kind of look up here. So some of us in this room have gone so far in your freedom, and then you've quit, you've stopped. That's not freedom. Excuse me, that's not freedom. Stopping at a point where you say, I'll only go this far, God, you're not going to have a very enjoyable life, because he will let you stop. He will let you, you know, stomp and stop, but he'll never stop speaking to you about going forward. If you know him, Holy Spirit wants out. Holy Spirit wants out to change the world through you. So if you feel stuck, you just, I have some freedom, but not enough, but I don't want this kind of freedom that I see in this place. Oh no, I'm going to back off from that line. Those people are a little bit wacky. Do they really love Jesus? I mean, they're acting like fools at times. That's right. And enjoying every minute of it. When you see people worship like we were worshiping this morning, you were worshiping this morning. Amazing worship for the King. There's no competition up here. I could lead worship every day because I'm in charge around here. I could say, hey, I'm going to lead worship, and I'm going to lead worship next week, and the week after that, you guys are good, but hey, you know who the expert is. I've been around the longest, I've been worshiping the longest, I've been playing the longest, I've been singing the longest. Started at 5 years old, yep. Here comes Peter Cottontail. I won first place. There weren't any other five-year-olds that were even singing. They were busy playing. But no, I'd rather see you empowered, all of you, to be the best worshipers you can be. I'd rather see people leading worship up here that I can say, man, I have some favorite worship leaders. Whoever's leading. That's my favorite. Whoever's leading worship that morning, they're my favorite worship leader. Because it's fathering. It's more fun. It's what he does with us. He doesn't just want you to get on the bike and ride in circles. He wants to take you places, change people's lives. He wants to use you for powerful things. Oh, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how little I've really obeyed him. Start today. As I said Tuesday, the Christian life is about change. If you're not changing, how involved are you as a believer? You should be changing all the time. We should be changing all the time. There's things taking place in my life of change. I can't share it all yet because it's ongoing. But there are amazing things happening in my own life of change to benefit you, to benefit me, to benefit the kingdom. That should be happening in each one of us. We shouldn't come in week after week. Oh, man, this is a terrible week. I'm so tired.
I'll try to worship. I'll put my hand up. If we come in week after week like that, now, believe me, I come in like that. I get up there to lead worship, and I feel like sin on a popsicle stick. I just feel like, ugh. And you know what I do? I don't try to press through that in my own strength. It never has worked. I say, God, you know what I feel like this morning. You know what I feel like this morning. So, you turn it around. I'll cooperate. You turn it around. Some of those times are the best times of worship. Because I'm not involved in it that much. I open my pipe. And amazing things come out. And I'm like, where did that come from? I'm so tired. You're supposed to, you know, they told me in private school I was in for, you know, vocal. They said, you got to get the rest before you got to warm up. You got to practice. You've got to do all this stuff. And then I find out if we're just worshiping him as we go along in life, and when we're not worshiping him, we let him cure us of that. That when you get up to worship, you don't have to necessarily practice, although it's a good thing to be on the same page with people. Tuesday night, we don't practice. Sometimes we're on a page, sometimes we aren't. But we're still lifting up worship. We're still lifting up worship, and there's people up here dancing. I don't care whether we're on the same page or not, because they're caring about worship. So it's good to practice, to worship, but don't have practiced worship. There's a difference. There's a big difference. I've seen a big, never mind. Seen a big difference in practiced worship and worship with a little bit of practice. And it can be energizing and freeing if you step into it and engage with God, not just look and see if, you know, the worship team seems like they're tuned up or they're matched up with one another, whether they, you know, singing together, singing harmony or not. But let yourself be carried in freedom by worship. Now I'll start the message. Okay, you have some verses out there. We need those read. True freedom, and you also have a sheet if you want to fill it out. Men and women of change are able to have true freedom. 2 Corinthians 5:17, who has that one? Great, could you read it out for the group?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
One more time.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Change. In order to have freedom, we need change. Well,
I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Was he in joy?
It's an easy answer. He was in joy because he was no longer living under his own power. He was no longer trying to make a bike work that didn't work. He was in the religious society. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees, and it hadn't worked. It didn't work. Chasing down Christians didn't work. He runs up against the Christian, the Christ, on a road. Because he was trying to glorify God on that road, go get these guys that aren't agreeing with the religious system out of the way. What are they doing? They have too much freedom. And then the Lord says, what are you doing? Why are you trying to kick against the goads? Why are you coming against me? You're blind. Boop! That would make an impression. I'm pleasing God, I'm pleasing God, I'm pleasing God. No, you're not. You're blind.
Wow. What a revelation.
Aren't you glad he doesn't do that to us? In this room, when we're off on our spiritual thinking, and all of a sudden he just says, you're off, you're blind. Physically. He's gracious. We're in a new covenant. Paul had to learn to be part of that covenant. He was going to be a leader, fighting against Jesus, and got turned around to be a leader, to die for him. So when he says, I am crucified with Christ, he's got a smile on his face. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, am I glad I'm crucified. His bike got turned upside down. He's now riding. He has purpose. He knows he's in the will of God. Why wouldn't that make us happy? Joyous. Hey, not bad for two verses. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Who has that one? Way in the back. Nice and loud.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Hey, I wasn't lying. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You can't smell the Spirit of the Lord on whatever you're about to do. It's not freedom.
Let's see what the next one is. Romans 6:4. That's you.
We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
Live a new life because we arose from the dead. You have had a resurrection just like Jesus had a resurrection. But you have to know that and have to remember that. One of the worst things that happens to us is we forget. Yeah. We forget all our benefits. God reminds us over and over again, gives us the Bible with four gospels. Why four? Because we need to hear it four times just to remember. Why does he give us Old and New Testament? He's reminding us, showing us new revelation in different ways. We're to remind one another because we forget. You forget that you're carrying Holy Spirit. I know you do because I do. You forget that you're carrying the powerful Holy Spirit. So change is one thing that will bring true freedom. Number two, men and women of covenant. Yes. Covenant. Deuteronomy 7:9. She'll bring you the microphone. Nice and loud. That's a pretty long-lasting covenant. 1,000 generations. Who established the covenant? God. his idea. We didn't have to beg him. We didn't even know what to beg for. He established a covenant that lasts 1,000 generations. All we have to do is say, I'll be a part of that. I'm in. I'll go for it. I want to see my bike turned upside down. I want to be glorifying God in my life. I want to be changing the world. Why do we, as such a small body, even attempt to go to these different nations? Why do we do that? That's crazy. We should be just trying to kind of huddle in here and build up our numbers. Why do we bother tithing people to these nations for a period of time every year? Well, we'll get to that. It's at the end. Hebrews 9, 15 through 17. Okay, men and women of covenant. 1 Corinthians 11:25. Even when we have communion, it's a reminder of the covenant that he established. How do you establish it? Through the shedding of blood. Blood covenant. You know how you've heard of blood brothers? little, you know, slice your little blood, you know, with one another. You know, you didn't like that? Well, it's because you were a blood sister. But Jesus gave all of his blood. I wonder if he had any pints left being in that position on the cross. Because when they stabbed him in the side, you know, blood didn't come out. What came out? Yeah. So he gave it all to establish the covenant with you, with me. So when he says, commit to me, love me, come after me, follow me, this is minor. He could say, I died, you die physically right now. Then you can go to heaven. Right now. That's the only thing that will even come close. And instead he lets us live. We die spiritually. In a sense, you know, we give our lives for him totally. We say, I'm crucified with Christ. And we live out our lives trying to glorify him and bring others into his kingdom. What a privilege. No wonder a person of covenant has such true freedom. They understand what the blood was for. They understand it. First, or 2 Corinthians 3:6. Way in the back. Now I've got a microphone runner.
You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life.
Awesome, awesome. So there were two signs of the original covenant, circumcision and the Ten Commandments. And he says, guess what? Now I'm going to write it on your hearts. I'm going to write freedom on your heart. You can be free because I come inside to live. In the Old Testament, they're trying to keep Ten Commandments that they couldn't keep. A covenant that they messed up all the time, built some idol. We have the opportunity now to have him live right inside of us and give us the power to keep the covenant. He's established a beautiful covenant, a second covenant. Mercy, grace, mercy triumphing over judgment. Grace, so much grace that he applies to our life, and we need it. And he lives right inside of us to give us the power to keep it. Wow. Privilege. Hebrews 8:6.
But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
He's the mediator of a better covenant. Think of this. Jesus didn't just die and resurrect. He went to heaven, and he's your lawyer in heaven. He's your advocate. He's the one, you know, you don't need this big fee that you have to pay, just your life. And you get this great lawyer, this retainer fee, you know, the lawyer stays around on your case. He stays on your case. Well, you know, not that way. I mean, he's helping you with your case before the Father. Jesus says, he's one of mine. Father says, you're welcome. She's one of mine. Welcome. Because Jesus is your lawyer. Wow, he didn't just die for you and resurrect, send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you to empower you now. He's your lawyer. And he stands before Father God and says, bring him in. Bring him in.
Give him a new name, by the way.
Give him a new name. That old name's just not working for him. Give him a brand new name. And when you have a name like Bill, you want a new name. Everywhere I go overseas, what's your name? Bill. Yeah, Bill. It's easy. Bill. Why can't it be like Zachariah? Powerful Bible name. Even the last name, Goki. Yeah, the key is to go. I had to turn it into something, you know, valuable. It came from a French name, Gautier. It sings. And they crossed the border into the United States. Goki. What's your name? Goki. Gautier. Oh, well. Okay. You don't always only have a covenant with God, you have a covenant with others. Do you know that you're supposed to have a covenant with whatever body of believers that you're attaching yourself to by Holy Spirit telling you which one you should be attached to? You shouldn't be attached to a body just because you like the preacher. You shouldn't be attached to a body just because you like the worship. Shouldn't be attached to a body just because you like the heebie-jeebies when you're there. You should be attached to a body because Holy Spirit has led you to be part of that body and say, you can count on me. I'm going to take my place. I'm going to be your liver. I'm going to be your eyeball. I'm going to be your lips and love it. In this body. That's the way it's supposed to be. Do we see that? Everywhere around the world, we see the tumbleweeds, you know. bounce from one place to another and one place to another. They don't ask Holy Spirit. It just goes by their preferences often. Where should I be attached? Let me see. It's a pretty good preacher, but the other place had better worship. But this place, you know, maybe they could have better worship if they just had that guy lead all the time instead of that one over there. And all these opinions, and it's no wonder the church needs washing with the word. Because that's not how Jesus' loyalty works with us. You weren't very good last night. I heard a word come out of your mouth I didn't like. So today, I'm not talking to you. You know, Jesus doesn't do that. If you think he does, you better check out the New Testament a little closer. He's so filled with mercy, he spent time with men that were imperfect. He knew it when he came. He knew they were going to be imperfect when he left. And yet he wanted to spend time with them. And not just spend time with them like, I'll stay over here in this house and you guys go out there and do some ministry. Because you guys drive me nuts. You don't want to really follow God, and you have all these crazy questions that don't have anything to do with the subject. Your bike's upside down most of the time. I have to come over and turn it upside down again and again and again so you get it. So I'll live over here in the house, and you guys go out, and when you learn some stuff, come back and tell me what you learned. No, he went out with them, sweat with them, cried with them, ate with them, got the dust with them. Because he likes you. He does the same thing with you when you want that. He likes you. He can't help it. He just likes you. So true freedom need change. Men and women of change. We need to be men and women of covenant. We need to be men and women of character. Romans 5:3-5. Here it comes, being delivered.
There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything that God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit.
One more time.
Message. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit.
He's developing our character. Or trying to. Holy Spirit's inside trying to develop our character to be more like Jesus every day. We can say no to him, though. Quench, resist. Heard those words out of the New Testament in reference to the Holy Spirit. We can actually say to Holy Spirit, no, don't want any, not buying anything today. But do you know what it does for us? We end up with an upside down bike. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in life. It doesn't work in family. It doesn't work in relationships. Oh, but when I'm too radical crazy, people don't want to be around me. Just wait. Just wait. My sister could not stand it that I became a Christian. She persecuted me. She was 9 years older, persecuted me. She was the one that taught me to sing. But she didn't like what I was started to sing. Jesus? What happened to the Beatles? I could handle that. Jesus? What about Elvis? That's what I taught you. She didn't want anything to do with it. Didn't want me to speak of him to her. So I didn't for 10 years. And after 10 years, at the time of my father's death, she called me up and said, "Why have you been telling me about Jesus all the time?" I had not told her anything about him for 10 years. I gave her my testimony when I came to know Jesus. She said, "I don't want to hear any more." I said, "Okay, I'll respect that." I lived Jesus, didn't talk to her specifically about Jesus. She still thought I was telling her about Jesus. Your life speaks. I'm not kidding. It speaks. So those that are persecuting you, that's why you're supposed to be joyful. It's only a matter of time before you join the family. Welcome to the kingdom. You don't say that to them when they're persecuting you. You will? You will. So she persecuted me. She ran into some health problems. I thought, oh, she's going to be mad at God. Man, is she going to be mad at God. Called her up to ask her if she wanted prayer. Took that step, you know. She want me to talk about Jesus? I'll ask her if she wants prayer. She won't know it's going to be about Jesus. And she said, "Sure, I'll take prayer." And she liked it when I prayed strong, not some weak prayer, not some wimpy prayer. She liked it better when I prayed strong. And then we visited. She lived 500 miles away, so we visited. She got in a circle. My crazy, whacked out wife actually brought up Jesus like Jesus. I mean, right to her. "Would you like to receive Jesus?" She said yes. She prayed out to receive Jesus. Yeah. Whoa, wait a minute. The persecutor. Paul. Paul. Just in a female person. Then she loved it when I would, loved it even more when I would pray over her, when I'd read scripture, when I would call her, find out how she's doing. Then the family called me one day and they said, "You know, she's been in and out of the hospital. We should have called you before now because it looked kind of serious this time, but we thought she might come out of the hospital again, but it looks like she's going to die." What? Couldn't tell me a little bit before that? 500 miles away. So then it's, when do we go up there to be with her, pray with her, pray over her? Holy Spirit, what day do we go? We have many responsibilities with many people. We want to go at the proper time, the right time, not just zing up there. Sure enough, told us the day. We left, we went on that day. We got to see her that day. They had just brought her home to die. Went in, she was in terrible shape, but she was lucid. She recommitted her life to Jesus. Prayed right out with the strength that she had. And that night she passed away. Now some of you aren't going to necessarily think this was a good idea, but we did. The next day we went to visit her in her home because they called us and said she'd passed away during the night. They hadn't come to take the body yet. The family kind of left the room for a minute and we prayed to see if she'd resurrect. Jesus did. Now she didn't. Raised back from the dead. But we've prayed for several people to raise from the dead and they haven't raised from the dead yet. But if we keep praying, there may be a testimony right from here. And it probably won't be from me. I just know it. It's going to be one of you. And it'll be that there was a resurrection from the dead. Well, there's already been a testimony. Sorry. There has been one already from this place. Kind of a shoot off from this place. Mary Pat's sister, who had never led anyone to Jesus, went on vacation with her family, was at a beach in Mexico. And she's watching her kids out in the water. Her and her husband are sitting in lawn chairs on the beach. They drag up this young man onto the shore. And the people around are like, "Oh," you know, they get the paramedics. That takes a while. Paramedics come. Okay, they get on the body. They try to work on it. They're giving up by their actions. My sister-in-law and her husband are just watching.
All of a sudden, you know, they're going to get the body bag, zip the body up and take it away. My brother-in-law was kind of worked in emergency services and so on, so he knew what was going on. Yeah, they're done. My sister-in-law gets up out of the lawn chair, starts walking towards the circle, walks through the circle of people that are around the body, goes to the foot of the body, lays hands on the feet, and commands life to come into the body. Now, he's getting blue, real blue. Sits up, breathing. Now, imagine going back to your church and telling him that on a Sunday morning. I haven't led anybody to Jesus, but I just walked into a circle, and I was on vacation, and I thought I would just raise someone from the dead. She walked out of the circle, went back to her lawn chair, and sat down, stunned. Knew it was the unction of the Holy Spirit, because she had no plan to go to that circle and do anything. She definitely didn't have a plan to lay hands on the feet of the person and, you know, see what happened and everything else. The people were like, ah, awestruck. Her husband. Who am I married to here? He's in awe, overcome by awe. She couldn't talk about it. He's asking her questions. She can't talk about it. She didn't start to speak about it till the next day. Then they went back and told their church. It's a good idea or bad idea, depending on how you look at it. Because they did not understand. They did not believe that it happened. Well, think about it. You could come up with 1,000 reasons. Well, maybe he wasn't really dead. No. Just taking a nap. Filled up with water. Yeah. Everybody does that. Well, maybe it wasn't very long. You know, maybe it was just a few minutes. And you know, you could come up with 1,000 things, but why not just celebrate what God did? Yeah. Whatever he did. Yeah. Call it the highest. Yeah. So she's come here and shared that. She still doesn't understand how that happened. You can't put a formula on this. So one of you going on the Mozambique trip or some other trip, or right here in the States, you're going to get an opportunity. I have had them, and no one's raised from the dead yet. But you're going to get an opportunity, and it's going to be God's plan for that person. It's not always God's plan. And sometimes the person, I'm sure of it, doesn't want to come back. Think about it. I'm going towards glory, glory. Hoo-hoo, Jesus. Oh, hey, whoa. Come back from the dead. Ah! Leave me alone. But, you know, it gets a little more serious when it's someone that we're not sure knows Jesus. And he certainly has done that before, where he's raised someone back from the dead to receive him. And believe me, once you've been raised from the dead, you're a little bit more open to the gospel. You're quite open. Okay, it doesn't look like we're going to get through all these points, but we do want to get to one more at least. Let's finish character with James 3, 13 through 18. Who has James 3, 13 through 18? Ah, there she is. See, we didn't want to leave you out.
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth from not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partially and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
So you have a little trouble with your throat, and I give you a long passage. It's the way I am. So you can connect with earthly wisdom or connect with heavenly wisdom. I've connected with earthly wisdom before, and I'm afraid that it doesn't turn out so well. It really doesn't. My own wisdom, I've connected with that before, not turned out so well. When I connect with heavenly wisdom, miracles start to happen. People's lives change. Sons and daughters are raised up in the kingdom. Nations are touched. I would suggest you connect with heavenly wisdom. That would just be my suggestion. So you're going to need the Logos Word. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. You can't leave either one of them out. If some of you have been trying to follow Holy Spirit, but you aren't basing that following on the Word of God, you don't have a good foundation. If you're trying to live without listening to the Holy Spirit because you have the principles of the Word, you have a good foundation, but you really don't know how to apply it to specific situations. I've told you before, when I go into a counseling situation, I don't go in with all my principles and all my doctrine straight and everything, and get my Bible out, lay it on the table, and say, okay, let's go over a few scriptures for your problem. Here's this and this passage and that passage and this passage. Pick from my Bible knowledge and experience, I think you should do thus and so. Not a bad thing to have principles. Not a bad thing to base things on the Word. I would rather then take the Word and say, Holy Spirit, what do they really need out of the Word, out of these principles, out of these passages, out of my experience, out of what you're saying fresh to them by a picture, a dream, a vision, or a word? Would I take that risk and share that with them? Now I do. I didn't used to. I did jail ministry for a number of years. I went in with the principles. I went in with the Word. And they would say, yes, in Bible study. And then I had people, they would leave when they got out, go to a bar as a Bible, one of my Bible study stars, knock somebody in the head, get put right back in. By the next Bible study, they were there. I thought you got out. Oh, I did. Why didn't you call me? I called my friends. Yeah, and what happened? Well, we went to a bar, and, you know, we got a fight, and I clunked a guy in the head with a pipe. And I said, what would Jesus do? But now, the ministry I do, I say, Holy Spirit, what out of this do they need specifically for them that will change their life, that will be words of life out of my mouth to them? Because I don't know. You have to tell me. Works so much better. Because I'm telling you, you can get pretty puffed up knowing the Word of God. You can kind of feel like, okay, I can handle anything with a scripture. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. But when you have to ask Holy Spirit, you're suddenly humbled. Holy Spirit, I really don't know. Please show me what will bring life to this situation. What will bring life to this person? What will be the key to heal them on the inside so they don't hit anybody in the head with a pipe? And I'm telling you, there's not 100%, you know, success rate or anything, because people can still say no. But I know I've given out words of life. Whether someone grabs onto it and receives it or not, that's up to them. But I know I've done the best to put the Word together and the Holy Spirit and give them what God wants to be given to them, not just my list of things. And I love that. It makes me a little child. Daddy, daddy, please. I'm going to this meeting with this person, and they're precious to you. They care about you. They love you. I love them. I want something to move in their life, whatever their need is. Or if I know their need, I'll lift that up to him. Please come in with your Holy Spirit wisdom. Let it come out of my mouth so even I will be ministered to. So amazingly. And it'll point out things in my life. And if they say anything that's life to me, let me receive it. Let not me be the pastor. Let me be the child and receive what comes out of their mouth that's truth from me. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. Yes, ma'am. All right.
Many moons, I may be one now. Many moons ago, when I was 40, about 40, I had a Down syndrome uncle, actually. He was about 3 years older than me. He walked like they do from side to side. My young child, 9 years of old, had come into the house with my 9-year-old son. And his name was Bobby. And walking like that, from our garage into the house was not very wide. And I had seen them coming across the front, so I knew they were coming in. Nobody came, and it was quiet, so I went to look where they were. Bobby, walking like that, had, with his left foot, had stepped over the entrance and fell down my basement steps. Mm. And when I went to discover it, my 9-year-old son was standing. He must have been traumatized. He was standing, not able to move. And I asked him to a couple times, and he didn't. So I literally had to put him over into the house so I could look down, and there was Bobby on the floor. And the wall was not far in front, so he was laying kind of just partly there and partly into the room. And I started praying in tongues right away. I was only about 4 years old in the Lord, spirit-filled. And I didn't know what to do. I sent my daughter, my parents lived next door. I sent my daughter over to whisper to my mom so my grandmother wouldn't hear what had happened to Bobby. And so she ran to do that. This is me. I am talking to the Lord and speaking in tongues. And I go way out of my way to get the oldest washcloth so in case there was blood, I did not get blood on a good washcloth. So I reached to the bottom and do that, which I had to go out of my way to do that. And I'm speaking in tongues, going back and saying, Lord, please do not let Bobby die in my tiny little basement. This way, I don't think I could live with that, Lord. And on the way down the steps, I said, Lord, I'm going to touch Bobby with my right hand because I'm right-handed, and touch him on the other side of his head with the washcloth. And I'm just going to pray, please raise him. In the meantime, my mom had come over, went down a couple steps, spoke a few words in tongues, turned around and went away. My 16-year-old son had done the same thing. My dad had done the same thing, although they didn't speak in tongues. They weren't spirit-filled. But they came and looked and left, and I knew that they felt, too, that Bobby was dead. And I laid my hands on Bobby. He immediately jumped, just like that, and made a noise. And he tried to get up, and I said, no, honey, stay there. You're okay, stay there. And told them, of course, somebody called an ambulance in the meantime. We took him to the hospital, and they said he had a mild concussion. He had two black eyes, and that was all. And he lived for many years afterwards.
Thank the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, ma'am.
Do you not remember?
Can we have the microphone up here, Leslie? To Mary.
I was sitting here thinking whether I should share this, and I think God just wants you to know that there's a lot more of this going on than you know already. Do you not remember the time that Jim Lee died at our house? And God had given me a dream the night before that told me to go down and stand and lay my hands on him and say, Spirit of James Lee, come back into his body in the name of Jesus. And the paramedics were working on him, and I was standing there calling his spirit. He was already turning blue. He was not breathing. He was dead. And I'm sure he was dead because when it was all over, they asked the doctor, why didn't his pacemaker kick in? And he said, because your heart was not beating. He was dead. And God brought him back to life because it wasn't his time to go. Yeah. But it was the mercy of God to send an angel in a dream to me to tell me what to do. That was incredible.
Man.
It was incredible. And he lived for another 18 months after that. Man. So who knows why God gave him an extra 18 months. But I wouldn't be surprised. People, you think, oh, if that ever happened to me, I'd tell everybody. No, not necessarily. You wait until the Holy Spirit says it's time.
Sure.
And then when you share it in obedience to the Holy Spirit, not to puff you up or say, well, listen, talk about faith and power here, I'll tell you, you know. No, when you do it because the Holy Spirit is putting the pressure on you inside to share it, then it has the effect the Holy Spirit wants it to have, which is to build up your faith.
Amen.
And say, if it happens, you don't have to think, what would I do? We don't have to have classes in how to raise the dead, you know, because God, in his mercy, will set the whole thing up. You just got to be ready. You just
step in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. This is getting to be a lot better than I thought this message was going to go.
I forgot one thing. My daughter was 20 at the time and had been filled with the Spirit since she was 16. And when she first came to look, she said, I was shocked by this. She said, Mom, I saw Bobby's spirit hovering in that corner of the basement, right where it met, right at the top. She saw it, and when I went down and prayed, she saw it fly back.
Wow. Awesome. Well, if you think of any other details, you just bring them on. Good stuff. Well, we're going to pray and let you go, and there'll be a second session of this in a couple weeks. We'll continue with freedom and why you have freedom to share amazing testimonies anytime. You just raise your hand. Father, we thank you, God, you're so good. As we come before you, we know we need change. Father, we need covenant with you. We need a change in our character, a continual development of our character, God. We need all these other things that I plan to share, Father. We just thank you, God, that you're sharing them with us all the time. We're listening to you, Holy Spirit. We want to hear your voice more clearly. We want to follow what you say, because that's heavenly wisdom given to us, God. We receive it today. We're just your children. We're your sons and daughters wanting to learn, but also wanting to be mature, get off the milk and get onto the meat, Father, of living out a radical Christian life before the world, God, that has these kinds of things happening, God, and many more of the testimonies that we've heard, even just in the last year, God, all the different ways that this body has influenced people in several nations and in colleges around here, in the neighborhoods, down on the streets of Canton. God, we thank you, and families. God, you're doing so many amazing things as we listen to your voice and do what you say. And we do it in joy because you paid a heavy price of blood for us to have this covenant with you, to have this freedom that's real freedom, not the freedom that the world offers, not the freedom that religion offers, but true freedom, God. Freedom in you to be the best in you that we can be, because you give us so many gifts, Holy Spirit being number one. Thank you, God. We receive from you today. We step out with more risk in our daily lives, Father, to please you and to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Thanks for participating with the reading of the verses and sharing the testimonies. Go out and make some testimonies in the next couple weeks, and then my message in 2 weeks will be amazing.